widening gulf with China.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. China is supposedly trying to cut back on its exports. But today the country said its trade surplus grew 23% in January compared to a year ago. The trade gap is about $20 billion. Some U.S. lawmakers are calling for punishing tariffs if China doesn't do something about this widening deficit. Yesterday, the U.S. reported its trade gap with China grew 10% last year to $256 billion. Wall Street's winning streak had to end sometime. Yesterday, the Fed chairman gave Congress a warning about the economy, and the selling began. The Dow fell 175 points to 12,377. The NASDAQ dropped 41, and the S&P 500 lost 18 points. Kind of a mixed day for stocks in Asia today. European shares are down a fraction so far. Political action committees have become a familiar part of the election cycle. They donate money, help candidates get elected, and hope for something in return. But one of Washington's biggest PACs has decided it's done with this business, at least for this election. The National Association of Home Builders says it's cutting off money to politicians this year. Jeremy Hobson has more.
The Home Builders PAC gave politicians almost $3 million during the last election, but they say Congress and the president have done little to address the housing crisis.
There's any number of things that they could undertake, but they've chosen to do nothing.
So the group CEO, Jerry Howard, says candidates won't be getting any help this campaign cycle. Massey Rich is with the Center for Responsive Politics, a campaign finance watchdog group.
This was a fairly rare admission from one of Washington's biggest givers that money does indeed influence politics and policy, or at least that's the goal.
So Rich doesn't foresee Congress being cut off by any other big PACs anytime soon.
They tend to listen most to those people who are willing to write them campaign checks. And there are many, many more interests who are happy to continue to fund Congress while the NAHB sits this one out.
In Washington, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
Last weekend, a group of people in Fargo, North Dakota, set the world record for making pancakes at one gathering. It was the 50th anniversary of the Kiwanis Club Pancake Carnival. They made 34,818 pancakes. But that's not what I'm here to tell you about. There's a report this morning that Guinness World Records has been sold to an American company that you've no doubt heard of, Ripley's, as in Ripley's, believe it or not. The Guardian newspaper in Britain says the deal is worth $117 million. The Guinness Book of World Records has been published since 1955.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, where you can choose up to four customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. And by the American Public Transportation Association, working toward energy independence with 10 billion transit trips per year at publictransportation.org. Sustainability coverage supported by Calvert, mutual funds, college savings, and retirement investments in companies committed to responsible environmental, social, and governance practices. Calvert.com.
A report out of China today says Beijing will close dozens of gas stations this summer before the Olympics. These stations can't afford new technology needed to meet air quality standards. Like any other Olympic host, China wants to show off to the world, but Beijing's pollution problem might literally cast a pall over these games. Our Business of Sports commentator Diana Nya joins us. Diana, there's been talk of moving some events out of Beijing if enough athletes complain about the air quality. Are they complaining?
Yeah, I mean, there are a number of athletes. Haile Gebrselassie, who's the world record holder in the marathon, says he probably won't even run the event. He may not even go to the Olympics. He's got a touch of asthma, and he's already, you know, sensitive. Some days you're there, it is a thick, thick fog. So imagine running the marathon or cycling or any of the endurance events. The woman who's the world record holder in the 400-meter hurdles, Jenna Rawlinson, is going to skip the opening ceremonies. She's going to get there a week late and just arrive right in time for her event. That's it. And their number of athletes are going to train in Japan. They just don't want to be there for their health.
I also was reading that they might be wearing masks.
A lot of athletes, you know, you see in Asia, and actually it's a very polite thing to do. In Japan, they wear a little nurse's mask if you're feeling like you've got a cold or something. I wish we would do that more here if you come to work. But imagine if the scenes of the opening ceremonies or, you know, all those scenes of the athletes, you know, enjoying their time playing video games at the athletes' village. There are hundreds of thousands of them wearing white masks with black soot all over the front of them. I mean, that's going to be a terrible image to be broadcast around the world, and the Chinese already are saying, we don't want that. Well, who's going to keep the athletes from wearing them, not to mention the spectators?
What is China doing in terms of this pollution issue?
They've got a number of things going on, and, to be fair to them, it will probably assuage the level of pollution quite a bit. They did an experiment back in September. They took 4 days, and they alternated license plate tags. So if you had an even number at the end of yours, you couldn't drive this day, you could drive the next day. Mm-hmm. And I don't know the exact numbers, but they reduced a pretty considerable amount of particles per cubic inch in the air. They're taking 100 of their factories, steel, different types of factories that, you know, use coal furnaces at the moment instead of natural gas, moving them outside of the city. That's a huge expense. They've got 300 taxis and buses that just for the 3 weeks of the games will not be allowed to operate. They're going to put in, you know, lesser polluting vehicles. And there are many Chinese, of course, and those business people who visit China who will say, well, great, maybe this is going to be a wake-up call. And for the future of Beijing and other Chinese cities with horrible pollution problems, maybe this will be the start to, you know, cleaning up the mess.
Well, it could be a different kind of legacy for the Olympics.
Yeah, it's exactly right.
Okay, Diana, thank you.
Thanks, Scott, as always.
Diana Nyad, our Business of Sports commentator. If you'd like to share your thoughts with us and with other listeners, log on to our website, marketplace.org, and check out the Marketplace Confessional. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening, and have a great weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.